If you have your Bibles this morning, Revelation chapter 22, that would be the last chapter in the Word of God. I'd like to ask you if you're able to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God this morning. Stand with me, please. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 12. These words, if you have a red letter edition, and I don't try to make more of one word in the Word of God than the other, but Jesus is speaking. And he said, "Behold, I come quickly." Y'all believe that? He said, "My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.'" That's what Brother Steve was making reference to a while ago. We're living in a time when it's easy to show an act of kindness, being part of the Bride of Christ and having the Spirit of God living in us, say to a world that's uncertain and unsettled, "Come, get you a drink of the water of life. Let him that heareth say, 'Come,' and let him that's athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, 'Surely I come quickly.'" Amen. John said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And I want you to notice verse 21. Boy, I tell you, God has stirred my heart. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." I've known for a long time that Paul was from the south, but I didn't know John was. He said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. You can be seated. Please pray with me a moment and pray for me. Father, thank you for the Word of God that we've read today. Thank you, Lord, for stirring our hearts, these good songs of Zion. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the folks that's having birthdays this month, God, you've let us live another year. Anniversaries, Lord. Lord, how we thank God for our families. And Lord, we pray this morning now that you would clothe us in our calling. Lord, make us a blessing to these dear people that have been such a blessing to us. And I pray, Father, that you'd reach down, as Brother Thurman said a while ago, and finger in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit do exactly his will and his work in each one of our lives today. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you first loved us. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Several weeks ago, I began preaching out of Psalm 117, and I entitled the message, "In the Middle of It All." I'd like to go back and read those two verses real quickly. It says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. praise ye the Lord. You know what I read here in Psalm 117, in the middle of it all, God wanted us to know there was mercy. I don't know about you this morning. I'm glad when justice called, mercy answered. Amen. God took a sinner, an old sinner like me, and washed him, and cleansed him, clothed him, and put him in the most precious family that's ever walked the face of the earth, the family of God. In Psalm 103, you find the middle two verses in the Word of God. In the middle of it all, the Bible said, He hath not, in verse 10, dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Right in the middle of it all, you find God's mercy. God is a merciful God. Last Sunday, we preached out of Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1 and called the message, In the Beginning of It All. And if you remember, we saw in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We saw that God is the creator. We not only saw the creator, we saw the creation. And then we saw the cross. We saw the Christ. Then we saw that Jesus, even before the foundation of the world, had already determined to pay the price because He was going to purchase a church, a body, amen, that He would be with for eternity. This morning, with God's help, I'd like to preach a message entitled, I'm not sure I'll get finished, and I mean that. I don't have one note. I don't have one verse of Scripture printed out. But I've got a heart that is so full with what God is speaking to my heart about in the end of it all. First of all, let me lay a little bit of groundwork. Turn with me to the book of Luke, please, chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 1. In the book of Luke's gospel in chapter number 1, I want to clear up something. I want to, if I may, get started on the right foot, even with the title of the message in the end of it all. The Word of God said in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 33, And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now watch this. And of His kingdom there shall be no end. When I'm titling the message in the end of it all, I'm not talking about, beloved, an end like the end of ends. But I'm talking about the end, Brother Rose, of life as we know it now. It's going to come to an end. We're going to finish our course. We're going to leave this world. And that, I believe, is what Jesus is talking about when He says, Behold, I come quickly. Let me say of His kingdom, there will be no end. Let me say this morning. If you're saved, you're saved forever. And you're going to heaven, amen, to live with Jesus forever and forever. And you say, Preacher, there's no end to that. Nope, it's eternal life. And there's no end for the Christian, the child of God, when they leave this world. Let me say this. There's no end to that other place either. The Word of God talks about hell being everlasting, the fire being everlasting, the torment being everlasting. So I wanted to lay a little bit of groundwork and that I'm not talking about the end of the end, so to speak, but necessarily but the end of life as we know it right now. Beloved, listen, I don't know about you, but the longer I live, the more I'm looking forward to the end of life as we know it right now. And you say, Preacher, that don't make any sense. Well, Job said, Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Honey, the child of God's headed for a place that ain't no more trouble. The child of God's headed for a place where there's no more sin. The child of God's headed for a place where there's no more sickness. The child of God's headed for a place where there's no more sorrow. The child of God is headed for a place where there's no more flesh. I thought about this week as God's been dealing in my heart. I'm headed for a place where never one time will I disappoint my Lord again. I'm headed for that place. I'm going to have a body like His, a mind like His. I'm going to walk like He walks and talk like He talks. And it's going to be a wonderful time when we get there. There's something that I want to give you this morning that I believe will be a blessing. And I didn't even realize it was in the text, what the way that God is dealing with my heart. But first of all, let me just say this. In the last verse here, we talked about God in the middle of it all and His mercy. God in the beginning of it all and His mercy. He was merciful before He ever created a man. God, Adam and Eve didn't sin, and God scratched His head and say, whoops, what are we going to do now? We say, we? What do you mean we? I'm talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Word of God said, let us make man in our own image. Jesus didn't come on the scene in the book of Luke. Say amen. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. He's the God of the ages. Amen. No beginning, no end. Watch this now. The Bible said here, as we're talking about life as we know it now, in the end of it all, John said this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I want to magnify this thought for just a few minutes this morning and pray that God will stir our hearts together. By the grace of God, number one, there's going to be a weighing. A weighing. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen, I'm talking now about the child of God. Beloved, when you and I are finished here, we're headed to the judgment seat of Christ. And our deeds are going to be weighed out. Amen. They're going to pass through the fire. The Word of God said some of them are going to be like wood and hay and stubble. And some of them are going to be like gold and silver and precious stones. I'm going to tell you something. This would help every child of God if we'd realize every day of our life there's a reckoning day coming. There's going to be a weighing. God's going to weigh it out. Say amen. And God doesn't just weigh the deeds. He weighs the motives. He not only knows what we do, but He knows why that we do it. I believe with all of my heart, this is how God spoke to my heart and dealt with my heart. How many of you all are here today that have I'm talking about real desire to hear Him say, well done. Do you have that desire in your heart? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will tell you the only way I'll ever hear that is by the grace of God. That's what the Word of God's talking about here. In the end of it all, hallelujah, February the 22nd, 1987, it was grace that got me in and grace that got me started. And when it's all done, it'll be the grace of God at the finish line. It'll be God's grace, unmerited love and favor. Some people might be there thinking, well, I didn't get what I deserved. I should have got more. But I tell you what I believe. I believe that day our mind will already be changed. What do you mean? It'll be perfected. Our body will be perfected. And on that day, Brother Steve, I believe we'll know stronger than we know now what we actually deserved. What we actually deserved was over there at the Great White Throne Judgment. We didn't even deserve a place at the judgment seat of Christ. Say amen. And I believe it'll be real to us. Amen. Listen, when God hands out a reward, it'll be real to us. And it's the grace of God that we have a reward. Not something that we deserve. Not something that we've earned. But something that God, in His unmerited love and favor, gives to His children. By the grace of God, there's going to be a weighing. Secondly, by the grace of God, turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 7. Watch what the Word of God said. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. The Word of God said, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Let me give you something, beloved. By the grace of God, there's going to be a weighing at the end of the way. Brother Gary, by the grace of God, there's going to be a wedding. I've been invited. I've accepted the invitation. And thank God, God has clothed me in a garment that makes me fit to come to the wedding. Jesus Christ, beloved, listen, is the bridegroom. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the bride. And I don't know about you, but I do thank God, beloved, there's an event going to happen. It's right on the horizon. And it's going to be wonderful. I've been to some weddings, beloved, listen to me carefully, that were wonderful. I'm talking about, I've been to weddings, you could see God in the faces, listen, and you could see the love in the hearts. I've been to others I wasn't so sure about, say amen. But I tell you, I'm sure about this. Everybody on that day is going to love Him and adore Him. And beloved, He's going to love them. We're His church. At the end of it all, by the grace of God, there's going to be a weighing. Our works are going to be weighed. They're going to be tried. But there's also, beloved, going to be a wedding. Now, I don't know about you. I try to close my eyes and wonder, what's it going to be like? Every way you look, Brother Steve, there's perfection. Everything our eyes will behold. I know that when a mom is marrying off a daughter, dads, we don't worry about it. We could care less what the cake looks like as long as it tastes good. Say amen. We're more concerned, is there ice cream to go with it? But the moms are they're worried about this and worried about that and worried about the garments and worried about the decorations and worried about the ceremony and worried about, listen, honey, don't worry about it. I promise you, it's going to be perfect. When we get there, it's going to be perfect. We're headed for a wedding. When I say we, I'm talking about the children of the living God. This world's made a big mistake. They think we're all God's children because He created us. No, we're God's creation because He created us. We can only be God's children when we're born again. We must be saved by the grace of God in order to participate in this wedding. At the end of the way, Brother Ralph is going to be weighed out. Everybody that knows Brother Ralph knows what gift God has given him. He could stand at the back of the church and lead a choir. Amen. It's all them years of trying to keep Sister Shelby off of him. He has built up some lungs, amen, that will get it done. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God don't only know what his voice is like. God knows what his heart's like. God, when the specials are being sung, when the choir's full, don't you look forward to it being full again? I hope and pray to God when we can get back in the choir, there ain't enough room back there. They all have to stand out here too. There's going to be a wedding, but watch this now. At the end of it all, by the grace of God, look at verse 10. When John saw all this, he said, I fell at his feet to worship him. You see that? John, the beloved disciple of the Lord Jesus. Are you listening? The one that was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
The one that could have had the mully grubs out on the Isle of Patmos, but the one that said, I heard behind me a voice. John, when he heard this about the wedding, it so thrilled him that he wanted to worship. But the Bible said here, I fell at his feet to worship him. He said, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and I have the testimony of Jesus. He said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I'll tell you something, beloved, listen. I've been saying this for years. I feel sorry for people that the only worship they ever do is in church. The Word of God, beloved, listen, teaches us that our Lord deserves worship. Our Lord desires worship. And I want to give you this. Our Lord has determined worship. Amen. In the end, beloved, listen, we will worship Him. Even the lost will bow before Him and admit that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we ought to be looking forward to that day. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4, I believe it is. Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 1. After this I looked and beheld, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Beloved, we believe that when you study the book of Revelation, that this is the church. God says to the church, come up hither. You don't see the church mentioned, beloved, in the tribulation upon the earth. We believe that God has called the church home. Amen. That we're in His presence and that we're worshiping Him. We believe that in chapter number 4 and chapter number 5, the 24 elders are a picture of the church of the living God. Let's look and see what they're saying, what they're doing. The Word of God said in verse number 8 of chapter 5, and when they had taken the book, the four beasts, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. Hallelujah, friend of mine. If you can't sing a lick down here, you'll be able to sing over there. And the Word of God said they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Last week we were in the beginning looking at the cross. I tell you, in the end, we're still going to be looking at the cross. And by the grace of God, we're going to worship the Lord that loved us and died for us. Watch what the Bible said. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. If there wasn't another verse in the Bible that would keep you from being a racist, that one right there ought to. I'm telling you, beloved, it don't matter what country, it don't matter what color, God's got young and scattered out all over this globe, and we're all going to the same wedding one day after a while. We're going to worship together. Hallelujah. Hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Watch this now. Look at verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast and the elders and the number of them. I love this. I've had people say to me before, Brother Grizzle, how much do I owe you? And I tell them this, Brother Grizzle, $1.398 plus tax. In other words, you get that figured out, you can pay me, amen. But watch this. The Word of God said right here, the Word of God saying, I beheld, heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You say, preacher, what's God trying to say? It looks like He told Abraham, innumerable. Amen. They're everywhere. I'm telling you, thank God Almighty, it's going to take a city 1,500 miles that away, and that away. Amen. I'm telling you, God's got a church, and He's coming after that church. Hallelujah. In the end of it all, the grace of God, by the grace of God, we're going to worship. You ever go to pray, and the flesh shows up? Help me. Would you be honest with me? You ever go to worship and the flesh shows up? Glory to God, on that day we're going to go to worship. There ain't going to be no flesh to show up. There's not going to be a thought in our mind that would hinder. Hannah sang that song a while back about the devil coming along and reminding us. We have to tell him they're under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. Well, in that day, beloved, we won't even need to tell him that because he won't be there, number one. And we'll never be reminded again. He's going to wipe away all the tears. What a blessed day that's going to be. In the end of it all, by the grace of God, there's going to be worship. Watch this now. In the end of it all, the Word of God said in verse number 11 of chapter number 19, "And I saw heaven opened, behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." If you notice, that's a capital F and a capital T in your King James Bible. If you don't have one of them King James Bibles, I would highly encourage you to get one. Say amen. I just read a little while ago when I read the text, God said, don't mess with my book. Don't be adding to it. And don't be taking away from it. The book's not broken. We are. We don't need to fix the book. We need to get in the book and let it fix us. Amen. Watch this now. "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." You say, now, Pastor, what are you seeing now? I see a way. We're going to have our works wait out there at the judgment seat of Christ. I see a wedding. I see worship. A worshiping. We're going to be worshiping. A lot of people don't like to think about this, but I see a war at the end of the way. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Let's read on. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were as many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." That'd be us, youngins. You say, Preacher, are we going to have to fight? Nah, we're just going to be a witness. We're just going to watch. God says, youngins, y'all been fighting long enough. Our fight will be over. The devil's going to go through the four corners of the earth, and the devil's going to raise up an army against God and against his people. And here comes Jesus riding out of heaven. Here we come right behind him. You say, Pastor, surely you don't believe that. Surely that's why I'm so cotton-picking happy. I done read the last chapter. I'm not trying to figure out who wins. I know, thank God, those that are behind him are winners in the end. We're going to win. We're going to win. Actually, to be more accurate, we've already won. Paul said, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that a blessing? You see, the Bible said here, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp, two-edged sword. Let me say this. Listen, God just give me a statement. Let me say this. Much better to be behind him than in front of him. If you can't figure that out, beloved, you need to get on your knees and ask God to help you figure it out. Much better to be behind him than in front of him. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp, two-edged sword. And with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I see a war by the grace of God. A war. God's people win. Something else I see in the end. That's the Word. Beloved, listen. I was listening to an old-fashioned preacher from North Carolina If I'm not mistaken, Miss Eve, Brother Bud had a little bit of that North Carolina hack in him, didn't he, honey, when he preached? Not that it wasn't Bud Crusenberry, Brother Ralph, but Bud Wishon that I saved under. But you remember hearing Brother Bud Crusenberry preach. I mean, he couldn't make announcements without hacking. He said, "Pray, God, God, we're going to have a dinner after a while. I hope somebody brought some chicken." Brother Bud preached the Word of God. And an old sinner saw himself in trouble. An old sinner come down to an old-fashioned altar. By the grace of God, the Word, Brother Gary, was there when I got started. Let me tell you something. By the grace of God, the Word will be there when I get finished. And I'm going to tell you something else. That Word ain't going to change. The same Word that got me in. You say, "Preacher, what do you got for that? How about this? Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." We're living right now in a time when people are scared to death that the Supreme Court will go back to interpreting the law instead of making law. They're scared to death. What they couldn't get done in the legislature, they've pushed on the American people through the courts. You know what I say, beloved? I say, "God, not my will, Thy will be done." I don't know about you, beloved, but I thank God that I have a book that's not going to change for this generation or for any other. It's going to be the same right down the line. I'm going to close with this morning. I don't think that I, Brother Steve, I don't think I ever picked up on it before, but I was reading last night before I went to bed. Look at verse 11 in chapter 20. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found," watch this now, "no place for them." I don't know how I've read that all these years. Brother Grizzle didn't pick up on that. You say, "Pastor, what are you going to say in closing the message?" Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Brother Steve, he said, "Steve Lyons, you pulled that car over that day and you said yes to the Lamb of God. I've gone to prepare a place for you." Brother, we've got a place. When it all comes down to the end of the way, in the end of it all, wouldn't it be sad for God to say, "I have no place for you"? What's going to happen in this end judgment here? Let's read on. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Let me stop and say this. Every one of us is going to stand before God. Those that are redeemed, those that have been born again, are going to be at that wedding. But 1,000 years later, the Bible said, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power." I want to say, by the grace of God, I have escaped the second death. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You say, Pastor, in the end of it all, you're bragging on God's grace. I am. Verse 15 said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. By the grace of God, Brother Sam, when the roll is called up yonder, I can still remember the days, I'm telling my age, when you went into a classroom and the teacher called the roll. I can still remember the days when you showed up if you were playing ball on a team, Brother Steve. The coach would call the roll and he had it here. Every once in a while there'd be some smart aleck say something besides here. Because normally I wasn't here, I was there. Y'all get it in a minute, amen. I'm like my boy, I'd rather be anywhere than school. He's done all right though. By the grace of God, I don't know if Jesus is going to call the roll, but if he does, I don't believe there'll be a dry eye in the house. Who would say here? My little Amelia, I guess each one of your grandchildren are unique. With Sawyer, it was, I can't find my buddy. I wonder where my buddy is. Sawyer wouldn't say a word. He'd just be doing this. I'd finally turn and look, and I'd say, oh, there he is. Little Amelia, I'd say, I can't find my baby. I wonder where my baby is. She'd say, right here, Papa. Right here. Elizabeth, my daughter, will say, no, I'm Papa's baby. No, right here. One of these days, Jesus is going to call my name. I don't know if I'll be able to say anything. But if I can't, I'd like to say, by the grace of God, Jesus, right here I am. Amen. I don't know about you this morning. I'm not trying to be gloom and doom, but I'll make you this promise. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. As we know it now, it's going to end one day. For me, it might be a decade. It might be a day. I don't know when I'm going, but thank God Almighty, I know where I'm going. When he comes. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know where you're going? Sister Brenda, that's your daughter sitting next to you, isn't it? Your granddaughter. Oh, she makes you look like a young granny. Amen. What's her name again? Kayla? Kayla? I just want to stop while I'm preaching, Kayla, and tell you what a blessing you are to me, honey. You're a blessing. Always smiling. Always in agreement. I believe she's like one of them fellas that sits over there like Brother Ralph and says, sick 'em. Sick 'em. Amen. Encourages, Pastor. Are you ready? If he was to come this afternoon, is there anything got you tied down here? Are you ready? In the end of it all, God said in the last verse of the last chapter, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen on November 3rd, but I know this. If I'm still living on November 4th, Brother Thurman, his grace will still be with me. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. I mean, he's glad you come.